Before I give the scripture today, I do want to make some announcements to the church family concerning losses within the church and within the church family this past week. Paul Mattis, who the husband of Darlene, passed away at the Veterans Home, Green Veterans Home in Bay Minette this past week. Services for Paul have not yet been made out, so we will let you know when that happens. Also, Mr. Charlie Green passed away yesterday afternoon at home peacefully with his family. Those services for Charlie are also pending, and we will let you know through the church and the social media as well as emails about when arrangements are made for Mr. Charlie. Also, our prayers and thoughts are with Al and Wanda Hampton, whose son passed away. Also, service was this past Friday in Pensacola. Our prayers and thoughts remain with the Hampton family who are here today. Just wanted to make you aware of these recent losses in the church and our prayers for family and extended family within our church walking through these days. As Paul writes and says, we grieve, but we grieve in hope. And we know, as we even talk about our good shepherd today, that he died for us, and he was raised to life and resurrection, and we have hope because of our good shepherd today. So, but our prayers and thoughts with these families, I invite us to stand for the reading of God's holy word. The scripture today is a longer scripture, John 10, verses 1 through 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Now, obviously, there's a lot in this scripture today. There's really two sections of it. The first part talks about Jesus being the gate of the sheepfold. And we will not expound on that at the time that we have today. I'm going to be talking more about the latter part of this, where he is the good shepherd. I served in Headland for many years, just north of Dothan. And the mascot for the Headland High School is the Ram, the Headland Rams. And I thought, well, you know, this is peanut country and cotton fields are everywhere. but I've never seen any sheep around here. So I was wondering, how in the world did they get the headland rams? And I did research and asked some of the older people in the community. I asked some of the school officials, and I never could figure out how they came about naming themselves the headland rams. Still don't know to this day. Well, the point of that is being that most of us probably do not have or not around sheep a lot in our lives, probably have not done any shepherding in our lives. Even in Baldwin County, as I did a little bit of research on this, there's not many sheep in Baldwin County, physical sheep, that is. Well, I read that on the Iron Rock Farm in Bay Minette, they have baby doll sheep. So just in case you need to know, that's there, right? But most of us, our understanding of shepherding and sheep is minimal or almost non-existent. But from the Scripture's perspective, if you look through the Scriptures, sheep and shepherds have a rich and powerful meaning. And obviously, Israel, as they started out, the Hebrews were nomads who had flocks that they kept. And even back to the early part of Genesis, Abel, remember the offering that he made from his flocks. Patriarchs, Moses, King David, we know was a shepherd. When Samuel came to anoint the next king, David was out in the back 40, shall we say, keeping watch over the sheep. And of course, one of the best known scriptures in all the Bible is Psalm 23. At almost every funeral I have attended and led, the 23rd Psalm is read. It brings comfort and hope to us because we believe and know, even as ancient Israel, the Lord is our shepherd. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied that Jesus would be as a shepherd in Isaiah 40. And in the New Testament, he is spoken of as a shepherd in several different places here in John chapter 10. In Hebrews 13, 20, he's called the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 5, 4, he's called the chief shepherd. And in 1 Peter 2, 25, he is called the shepherd and bishop of our souls. I had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land a couple of times and visiting in the place where it was thought that the angels came and announced the birth of Jesus. And who did the angels give that announcement to? Shepherds, right? Keeping watch over their flock at night. We visited that spot on our trip, and it was kind of interesting and really neat because there in that experience, on that day, there were native shepherds there, and there were sheep that they were herding that day or shepherding that day. So in Israel and Palestine, even to the present day, shepherds are active watching over their sheep. There's four things that I want to look at today that Jesus talks about in this wonderful imagery of the shepherd and the sheep. Four special ministries that Christ performs as our good shepherd. First and foremost, in verses 11 through 13, he says that he dies for the sheep. He dies for the sheep. The fact that Jesus has died for the sheep is not just isolated to this passage in John, as we well know. All the rest of the biblical teaching surrounding the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus are entailed in this. Jesus died for the nation of Israel. He died for the world as well. And I love what Warren Wiersbe says about this. He says, while the blood of Jesus is sufficient for the salvation of the world, it is efficient only for those who will believe. Well, that's very important in making that note. Perhaps the best known scripture in all the Bible, along with the 23rd Psalm, is John 3:16. Perhaps all of us know it by heart. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the importance of that is belief, trusting in, by saving faith, that Christ has indeed died for us as our good and great shepherd. Some time ago in our neighborhood, my wife was having a conversation with one of our neighbors, a lady who lived down the street from us, or across the street from us, and they were started talking about faith matters. They started talking about the church. They started talking about Jesus. And in that conversation, the lady simply said, "I don't believe Jesus died for me." And that was a rather shocking statement that person made for my wife to hear. And my wife quickly replied and said, "Oh, I believe he died for me. And I believe he died for you." I'm happy to say that our neighbor since then has become a believer. And her family have also come to believe in Christ. That Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And that is only effective and not effective until we believe and confess with our mouth. Believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. That is saving faith. Paul writes about that very clearly in Romans 3, 24 and 25. He says, "All are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith." Well, the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. That's why it's so important that we know the Old Testament, because it really helps us understand the New Testament. This whole imagery of sacrifice and of Christ laying down His life for us finds its origin back in the Old Testament. The Lamb, the spotless Lamb that was slain and His blood applied to the altar as a covering for the sins of the people. Well, the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, very clearly identified Jesus when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." We sing in the great church hymn, "Victory in Jesus. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood." Christ, as the good shepherd, purchases us as His sheep. We are His because He died for us. We belong to Him as He cares and loves for us so deeply. And boy, oh boy, do we need caring for, right? One shepherd put it like this as we move to this next point in just a moment. He says, "By nature," this is a shepherd talking, not me, okay? The shepherd says, "By nature, sheep are stupid and prone to get into danger, and they need a shepherd to care for them." Or we could go back to Isaiah 53, where he candidly says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way." I think we all have some version of that in our life, of being lost or getting lost or becoming disoriented in life. Any of you know anybody that's easily lost? Have you growing up with in family members? I came across an article recently about a lady. Her name was Mary McLaurin. Has an unusual condition, and I didn't know there was a name for this. It's called developmental topographical disorientation. DTD. So if you know anybody that is easily lost, they may have this. Developmental topographical disorientation. Means they can't form a mental map in their mind, literally. And so she was telling of one story where she went to a friend's house and she was watching their dog. Well, she was going to take the dog for a walk. And so she took the dog for a walk and she went down the street. And guess what? She got lost. Just walking down the street. She didn't take her cell phone with her, you know, to have the GPS monitor on it and all of that. And she got lost, literally, easily lost, because she suffers from this DTD. Well, we may not be struggling with DTD, but the Scripture is saying we, as sheep, tend to stray. I'm happy to say that she did find it back to her neighbor's house. But this is why this next point is so important. This is verses 14 and 15. It says, "He knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. Do you remember the story of a lost sheep several years ago? It was in Australia. A sheep named Barak. It had been lost for months, and they found him. It was abandoned. It had more than 75 pounds of wool weighing it down. There's a picture of that sheep on the screen. After rescuing Barak, the sanctuary staff gave him a long overdue shearing and found the fleece clocked in at about 78 pounds. And I'm looking at that sheep, and I'm thinking of a picture of what life is like without a shepherd. I think it's appropriate to recall the reference of Jesus when he talked about the lost sheep. Remember that in Luke chapter 15. Jesus talked about leaving the 99 sheep. Now get this. Jesus talked about leaving the 99 sheep that were in the fold and going after the sheep that was lost. Let's say the priority of the shepherd was more than the 99 that were in the flock already, but it was the one that had strayed, the one that was lost from the flock. Well, one of the questions would be, how did the shepherd know the sheep was lost? The beginning point of this, we would often know that the sheep were counted by the shepherd. He knew when one was lost. He knew when one was missing. When I thought further about that and looking at this, even more personally, our Lord knows us more than we know ourselves. Our Lord knows us more than the closest family members, husband or wife. Our Lord knows us intimately. He knows our name. He knew Simon, and he gave him a new name, Peter. He called Zacchaeus by name. And when he spoke Mary's name in the garden after he rose from the dead, she recognized him when he called her name, Mary. If you've ever had your identity lost in a maze of computer operations, it's wonderful to know that Christ knows our names. I love Brother Pat and some of the prayers that he prays. Don't want to put you on the spot today, brother. But sometimes he will pray, Jesus died for you by name. Very personal in that. He knows your name. He calls you by name. Christ, the Good Shepherd, also knows our natures. All sheep are not alike. They're different, as we know. Each sheep has its own distinctive characteristics. And he recognizes those different traits in each of us. Some sheep are afraid of high places, others of shadowy places. And he knows the special needs that each of us have in our own lives. Have you ever noticed how different the 12 apostles were that Jesus chose? Peter was impulsive and outspoken. John may have been more contemplative and quiet in nature. Thomas was hesitant and even doubtful or skeptical at times. Andrew was a people person, always bringing somebody to Jesus. Well, Judas, of course, the scripture says, was only or mostly concerned about the purse, the money. Jesus knew each of those disciples and apostles personally, called them by name, and also how to deal with them more personally as he recognized their nature. But in knowing their nature, he also knows their needs. If I were to ask you this morning, what is the greatest need in your life? And I go around this room, and you may answer differently. Some of them may be similar. Some of your needs would be similar. But there are times when we may not even recognize what our greatest needs are. But guess what? Jesus knows exactly what our need is. The beautiful 23rd Psalm gives a description of the Good Shepherd caring for us as His sheep. Notice it says, "He in pastures green, He leads us. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, He leads us." And if you connect all of that together, back to Psalm 23:1 and verse 6 as well, the main point of that is, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and I shall not want." Which means that the Good Shepherd knows our needs and has grace and strength to help us at the point of our need. I mentioned earlier in Palestine that the scene of shepherds and sheep that are there, and it's like it was almost 2,000 years ago. And on this scene would be like different groups of shepherds are bringing different sheep into a watering place. And you wonder how in the world all of those sheep that are in that same place, as mixed up as they are, how will those sheep come back to the shepherd? Well, this is just exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Each of those shepherds have a distinct way in which they call their sheep. It may be a pipe or a flute, or it may be a whistle, or it may be a command. But each of the sheep who belong to that shepherd, when they hear that, they respond. So all of the sheep that seem to be so mixed up in this one area all come back to the shepherd because they know his voice. Again, the personal connection that is here between the good shepherd and us. Now, I want to mention also here, and this can be confusing for a lot of people, but in verse 16, and this is a third point, the good shepherd brings other sheep into the flock. But what is he talking about there? Let's say Jesus came to the lost sheep of Israel. The scriptures truly tell us that. But then he's saying here that I have other sheep to bring into the pasture so that there will be one great flock. In our Apostles' Creed, we talk about the church universal, the Holy Catholic Church. It means that God has people all over the world. But you and I today are the other sheep. You and I today are part of the Gentile world that Jesus was talking about in this passage. He came into his own did not receive him, the Jewish people, so the ministry went out to the whole world. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down, Jesus said to his apostles, "Wait in Jerusalem, you'll be endued with power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So the mission and ministry is going out to other sheep that are not just a part of what is in Israel. So Jesus is extending the ministry to the world, if you will, when he's saying, making these comments, that other sheep he has to bring into the fold. Remember, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." And the ministry of Jesus itself was to people who were the least, the last, and the lost. If you look through the Gospel of Luke in particular, those that were unrecognized or marginalized or those that were cast aside, Jesus ministered to those people. So he's incorporating all the world into his mission and ministry here. And the wonderful news about all this is, that's how we're here. It's through the ministry of Christ, the Good Shepherd, extending the fold, if you will, and extending the flock of sheep that we're a part of here in 2025 at Five Rivers Church. We are the other sheep that he's brought into the flock. Thanks be to God. The last part of this, and I think the most important part of it, is verses 17 through 21, the good shepherd takes up his life again. It would not be the gospel and it would not be good news if the shepherd just laid down his life and that was it. As Paul wrote in the great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. We're still in our sins. We're in a hopeless situation. But thanks be to God, the good shepherd who laid down his life, takes up his life in resurrection power. That is the message of resurrection that we have today. Sometimes in the scriptures it says that the Father raised the Son. Here Jesus is saying that he has the power given to him by God to raise his life up again. But it is a concerted effort in the Godhead that Jesus was brought back to life again. How do we respond to all of this? If you look at what the people and how they responded, there was a division among them. Some of them believed. Some of them did not believe. Some of them hurled insults at Jesus, did not accept him. Others came to believe. Now I want to come back to the very first part of this where it says Jesus is the gate, Jesus is the door. And when you think about that imagery, there is a division. Because the gate is going to have some people in and some people out. And if you look at this also expanded in Matthew 25, Jesus, even as the shepherd, is going to separate the sheep and the goats. So there is a division here that has been, when these words were first spoken by Jesus, down to the present time. And it comes back to that song that we sang in Vacation Bible School many years ago, I Just Want to Be a Sheep. I just want to be a sheep, and all of us to be a sheep in the fold of God. Psalm 23, I came across this and I thought it worthy of noting. What this psalm is, if you remove the shepherd from it. I shall be in want. Me, my soul, me. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear me. Me in the presence of mine enemies. My head, my cup, me all the days of my life. I will dwell. When you look at that, without the shepherd, we're left obsessing over our wants and needs. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, often paralyzed by fear. We're like the sheep that we saw on the picture. Can we say, as David did, the Lord is my shepherd? I like how one little girl put that. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. He supplies all my needs. I would simply invite you today, if you've never done so, to invite Christ into your life. Let him be the good shepherd over your life. Or maybe you've strayed. Maybe you've strayed in your life. Maybe you're wondering. And Christ may be calling you by name to come back to the fold. He truly is the good shepherd. I love the great classic hymn that says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take my sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me, for you. Is he your shepherd? Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful that you are the good shepherd, that you freely laid down your life for us, and that all who believe and trust in you have life. Lord, we're thankful that you know our names and our needs. In the very deepest recesses of our lives, you know us. And God, I thank you that you have grace and mercy available to meet us and to meet our needs. I'm thankful, God, that in your greater plan of salvation, you chose to bring us in to your fold. We're the other sheep that you brought into your fold. And God, we're thankful in your mercy and grace that you extended that to us. And most of all, Lord, we're thankful that you were raised to life again. And Lord, that you are the giver of life and you give it abundantly and eternally. And there's no life outside of you. So Lord, we pray that you would help us, even as we hear these words today from John, to respond in faith and to believe and to trust in you, so that we will be able to say, if not already, the Lord is my shepherd. May that be true in our lives today, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen.